Warner from CDC, and her presentation is on STD screening by contraceptive type, missed opportunities for adolescent and young adult women.
Good morning. Thank you all for being here at one of the last sessions of the conference. I'm very glad to have this opportunity to present our analysis looking at STD testing by contraceptive type, which revealed potential missed opportunities for testing among adolescent and young adult women. So I just wanted to acknowledge up front my co-authors on this study, including colleagues at CDC's Division of Adolescent and School Health, which is where I work, as well as the Division of Reproductive Health, Emory University, and the University of Georgia. So although not reflected in the title of my presentation, our initial motivation for this study involved adolescents' use of long-acting reversible contraception, or LARC. So it's very appropriate that we're following the presentation about LARC use and condom use among teen mothers. You saw much of this background in the prior presentation, so I'll keep it brief. But LARC methods, namely IUDs and implants, require no user effort after insertion and are thus highly effective for pregnancy prevention, even with typical use. So we've seen substantial declines in teen pregnancies and abortion rates attributed to these methods. And although their use is still low among adolescents, it's likely to increase. So both AAP and ACOG have affirmed the safety of these methods for this population and recommend LARC as first-line contraceptive options for adolescents. However, certain characteristics of LARC methods may have unique and unintended consequences for STD prevention. Because these methods are so highly effective, there's the potential that LARC users are going to be less likely to use condoms, particularly if the motivation for using condoms with other contraception is around backup birth control. So recent research, including the analysis from PRAMS, suggests that adolescent LARC users are less likely to use condoms compared to users of methods for which effectiveness really depends on correct and consistent use and for which backup contraception may be warranted. Additionally, these methods are long-acting, as the name implies, and remain effective for between 3 and 10 years, depending on the method. So this means that there is less clinical interaction that's required for contraceptive continuation, and therefore potentially fewer opportunities for STD testing, although this hypothesis has not been examined empirically. So therefore, our study sought to compare STD testing between sexually active female LARC users and those using moderately effective contraceptive methods, as well as less effective contraceptive methods. And we did this among a nationally representative sample of adolescents and young adults 15 to 24 years of age. So in terms of our methods, we also used the 2011 to 2013 National Survey of Family Growth, or NSFG. And just as a reminder, NSFG is a continuously administered multi-stage probability design that yields a nationally representative sample of the U.S. household population aged 15 to 44 years. So our independent variable of interest for this analysis was current contraceptive method type, which was based on the most effective contraceptive method used during the month of the interview, as well as a calendar history of contraceptive use. And this calendar history was particularly important because we distinguished new LARC users who had initiated the method within the prior 12 months from continuing LARC users who had begun their method more than 12 months prior to the interview. And we felt this distinction was particularly important for our research question, given that new LARC users are inherently interacting with the healthcare system. Our moderately effective method category included oral contraceptive users, Depo-Provera users, and users of the birth control patch or birth control ring. And then we had a less effective method category, which included those using condoms, diaphragm, withdrawal, or other contraceptive strategies, such as the rhythm method. For our outcome variables of STD testing in the past 12 months, we had two measures, one specifically looking at chlamydia, and a second looking at other STD testing, and the item specifically gave examples of gonorrhea, herpes, or syphilis. So our analyses were conducted among the subsample of sexually active females 15 to 24 years of age who were currently using contraception. And in bivariate analyses, we looked at prevalence of STD testing by the four contraceptive type categories. We also considered multivariable logistic regression analyses, and we ran separate models for each of our two testing outcomes. And for each model, we considered two reference groups to be able to compare new and continuing LARC users to moderately effective method users and then less effective method users. All of our models controlled for race, ethnicity, and age, and the analyses were run using SAS Callable Sudan to account for the complex sample. So here are just some descriptive statistics about contraceptive use and STD testing among our analytic sample. As you can see, moderately effective method use was most common at about 56%. And the proportion using LARC methods, both new and continuing users, was relatively small. Overall, STD testing among these contraceptive users was low. So less than half had been tested for chlamydia or other STDs in the past 12 months. So here we have a graph presenting the results of our bivariate comparisons of prevalence of testing by contraceptive type. Starting with chlamydia, you can see that just over half of new LARC users had been tested for chlamydia in the prior year, but less than half of the other contraceptive users had been tested. And a similar pattern of finding emerged for other STD testing. We didn't see any statistically significant differences in testing by contraceptive type for either of these two testing outcomes. And here we have the results of our multivariable models, which align with the bivariate findings in that we saw few differences between new and continuing LARC users, comparing them to moderately effective method users, and that's the portion on the top part of the table, and then compared to less effective method users. For other STD testing, we did see that new LARC users had higher odds of being tested compared to less effective method users. And we did see differences in chlamydia testing between moderately effective method users and less effective method users, with the moderately effective method users being more likely to be tested. So, although we set out to look at differences specifically in terms of LARC and other contraceptive users, a key finding that emerged from this analysis is that STD testing is low across the board for these contraceptive users. And this finding actually aligns with a prior analysis using the 2002 NSFG data, which found that among sexually active young adolescent women who had received contraceptive services in the prior year, about one-third had not received recommended STI services. So unfortunately, it doesn't seem like we've made a lot of progress in this regard in the past 10 years. And it's concerning given that we have screening guidelines for annual chlamydia and gonorrhea screening among sexually active young women less than 25 years of age, as well as guidelines for quality family planning services that recommend provision of STI services as appropriate within the context of contraceptive care. So the low STD prevalence that we observed suggests potential missed opportunities, particularly for those new LARC users and moderately effective method users who are presumably engaged in care at some point in the prior year for contraceptive services. And overall, this finding really points to a continued need for strengthening integration of family planning and STD services and potentially focusing on education of family planning providers about STD screening recommendations could be an important avenue. In terms of our original objective, we did not see differences in STD testing between continuing LARC users and other contraceptive users. So this is in contrast to our hypothesis, some preliminary evidence that LARC use is not associated with reduced testing. And in fact, there's even maybe the suggestion that testing may be higher among new LARC users, indicating that LARC insertion is potentially a nice opportunity for STD screening. That said, we do need to pay attention to potential overscreening as a barrier to LARC uptake. In general, there's a need for future monitoring of STD testing by contraceptive type as adolescent LARC use increases in particular. So there are some strengths and limitations of our study. As far as we know, this is the first analysis to consider the implications of LARC use for STD testing among this population, and our findings in conjunction with findings about condom use give us a broader picture about what adolescent LARC use really means for STD prevention. Our data are from a nationally representative sample, so the findings are generalizable to those young women who are sexually active and currently using contraception in the U.S. And with that calendar history of contraceptive use in NSFG, we were able to distinguish new and continuing LARC users. There are some limitations. Because adolescent LARC use is low, we had a relatively small sample of LARC users. The data are self-reported, and adolescents may not be able to accurately report their STD testing history, although the items were measured via a CASI, so that may help reduce some social desirability biases, and the survey is cross-sectional. So in terms of next steps, specifically for this research question, we're hoping to conduct additional analyses with the 2011 to 2015 NSFG data once the most recent data is released later this fall. And in those analyses, we plan to make comparisons with young people who are not using contraception, as well as consider demographic characteristics or sexual risk behaviors that may moderate associations between STD testing and contraceptive type. More broadly, we think it's really important to continue to examine potential unintended consequences of adolescent LARC use for STD prevention. And this is certainly not to deter adolescent LARC use, but rather to inform how we can include STD prevention strategies in our efforts to increase LARC uptake for adolescents. And ideally, if we can come up with strategies for incorporating STD prevention in LARC scale-up, that may give us some insights more broadly into integration of family planning and STD prevention services that can help address some of the missed opportunities that our analysis points to. So with that, I'm happy to take a few questions. Thank you.
That was a nice talk. Thank you. I have one comment and one question.
Mm-hmm.
The comment is just that I know your perspective is a reproductive health and contraception perspective, but I think we have to be really cautious about categorizing condoms and diaphragms as less effective and equivalent to withdrawal and rhythm methods. That's really dangerous when that gets into the lay media and you hear people start saying condoms don't work, they're less effective. I know why you did it here, and I understand the concept,
mm-hmm.
but it's just a note of caution. And my question then is, do you feel like the categories of LARC and condom use are mutually exclusive? Because it looks as if you did your analysis that way, and in fact, one hopes that they're not.
Right, and so in terms of thinking about LARC and condom use and dual use, we didn't specifically look at sort of dual use or account for dual use because technically, in terms of screening recommendations, it really shouldn't matter that sexually active women should be being screened regardless of what their condom use is. So that's part of why we didn't sort of factor in dual use into this analysis. I did want to respond to your comment, though, which I think is a great point and really highlight something we've been thinking about in terms of moving our discussions about pregnancy prevention and STD prevention away from the focus on methods and really sort of elevating that to thinking primarily about what are the prevention goals. So for pregnancy prevention, condoms are a less effective method. But for STD prevention, they are a very important and primary method. And if we can sort of refocus on our goals and then talk about the methods in respect to those goals, that can help address some of that confusion that I think is really problematic, and I'm glad you raised. I'm told we were out of time. I've been told that for like 5 minutes, so sorry.